The Green Room with Orla Barry on News Talk.
Ballet, it's long been associated with eating disorders, a link which the dance companies themselves have often claimed is unfair and untrue. Well, 21-year-old Anais Garcia became a professional ballet dancer at the age of 19. She says there were times from the age of 15 onwards she would survive on a granola bar and a cup of coffee a day. In 2017, she was admitted to a treatment centre in Philadelphia. Her condition had become so severe, her doctor said if she danced again, her heart would stop. Anais Garcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Take us back a little bit to the kind of the young Anais and how you, when and how you first got into ballet.
Yes, I started when I was actually 3 years old. So I took on ballet very young and never looked back. I started in Columbia, Maryland, where I was born, and then continued to dance up until high school, where it became more serious and I wanted to actually pursue a professional career eventually. So I was dancing pretty much Monday through Saturday for about 4 hours a day in high school. It got really intense real fast because I went to a performing arts high school. And after that is when my illness kind of took place and escalated after I graduated.
After you graduated. So during that performing arts and in high school, did your teachers ever say, we think, you know, you should look at your weight, you might have weight issues, etc.?
So when I was, the first year I auditioned, I wasn't accepted and I wanted to find out as to why, and they said it's because I was untoned. Specifically, they said I lacked muscle tone and my body looked too soft. So I took that as I need to, gain more muscle. Certain body types aren't just muscular. You know, there's certain body types that are slim, certain body types that are muscular, and then certain body types that are just soft. And I guess it wasn't what they were looking for. So the following year,
I should ask your background. You are Latino, or what's your background? Tell us.
Yeah, I am Black and Cuban.
Okay. So that's going to be a different body type anyway, most of the time, in comparison to Caucasian, for example.
Yes, definitely. And after I got accepted my second time auditioning. And then I finally made it in. And while I was there throughout the remaining 3 years of high school, I was told that I am too soft constantly, that I need to tone up my legs in particular, and I need particularly to stop eating carbs, is what I was told. And
specifically say that to you, Anais, did they?
Yes. Eat less carbs, not to stop eating carbs. They said eat less carbs, eat less breads and pretzels and things like that so that I can, become less soft, or what they wanted me to become.
And did you start doing that straight away? Did you start dieting or watching your weight straight away then?
Yeah, I would say by the time I was a junior is when I took dieting more serious. I kind of began counting calories, watching my weight, weighing myself a little bit more consistently. I wasn't ill quite yet. However, I was on my way to developing an eating disorder at that time, definitely.
And when you say junior, what age would that have been?
It was 16.
Okay. So, and you went through, you went through the performing arts school, and then your plan really in your mind was you wanted to become a professional ballet dancer.
Yes, definitely.
So what did that mean in terms of your weight and watching what you were eating?
In my mind, because of what I was constantly being told, it meant that I needed to become less soft, and in my mind I took that as lose weight, lose some of the fat that was making me aka soft or whatever they considered me to be. So I took it as, in order to become a professional ballerina, I just need to work on this one correction that I kept receiving over the past 3 years.
And how serious did it become?
So serious that I ended up hospitalized twice. The first time I had lost, when I came into high school at the age of 14, I was a very healthy weight. I was 115 pounds. And that's healthy for a person that's 5'1", which is what I am. Mm. And by the time I graduated at 18, I was 95 pounds.
95 pounds, wow.
Yeah, so it continuously went down. However, it got way worse after I graduated because something in my mind told me that, you know, I was now out of this safe haven of my high school and that it was all up to me to keep this physique and to continue to look like a ballerina and continue to work on my technique and lose more weight to the point where it became 79. And that was the last time I was hospitalized with severe heart issues and multiple other complications.
And actually, and a lot of the times we here use stones as when we're counting them. So just to put it in context for our listeners here, 79 pounds, I'm just looking it up here, that's like 5.5 stone, which is dreadfully thin. So that was the weight that you were at the second time you were hospitalised. And those around you, Anais, I mean, the dancers and the people who were, you know, whether it was teachers or those who were auditioning you, did they spot it? Could they see that there might be an issue?
So I was in high school and I quite wasn't that severely underweight. My teachers had, they were interviewed for the Washington Post and they had said that they saw no change in my weight, even though I lost about maybe 20 pounds while I was there. And they admitted to the Washington Post that they saw no issues and were surprised to hear that I was sick.
Do you believe them?
No, not at all. I don't, because they would tell me all the time, you know, when I was losing some weight and started getting more roles and promotions and opportunities in high school, that, you know, I was looking better.
So it was working, essentially. The more you lost, the more roles you got.
Yeah, I was rewarded for my unhealthy behaviors, definitely. And by the time my senior year came, I got my dream role of Clara in The Nutcracker.
And to do that, presuming that at that point, you know, you're cutting back severely on the amount of food that you're taking in, how are your energy levels then if you're performing the lead role in a performance like that?
Oh, it was quite difficult for me to keep up with, especially the mental side of it was, emotionally exhausting as physically. I, on top of maintaining that weight and physically being able to keep up with the challenge of the role, I was still in high school. I still had academics and homework and exams. So it was a lot that was on me. And being malnourished definitely takes away from your capabilities in every way.
And what about things like meeting friends, going for a bite to eat with people, you know, meeting people out like that socially where food was involved? What did you do?
Yeah, it definitely was a sacrifice, especially in college. You know, you're in college, you go out with friends, you eat, you socialize. I did not do any of the above. I isolated in my dorm room because I was scared to go out. I was scared because most social activities involve food. And I didn't want anyone to catch on to my secret or the fact that I maybe am sick or I may have an illness. So the best way in my eyes to keep that a secret was to avoid friendships and socializing. Hmm.
So I guess most people around you thought you were just not very friendly or not very social.
Yeah, they thought I was just super focused. That's what they thought. They were like, oh, Anais, she has no time. She's, because I was keeping up a 4.0. I had this hyper perfectionism, which contributed to my eating disorder. And that's what they thought I was, just super focused. I was on the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly. But on the wrong thing. And whatever about the teachers and the mates and colleagues and that kind of thing, or dancers around you. What about your family then? What about your mum, for example? Did they spot that there was anything wrong?
Yes. They Initially, they thought it was just some slight dieting. They didn't think it was anything unhealthy, which is what it was. You know, when I was 16, 15, it wasn't anything serious. However, once they started to see that I was engaging in these destructive habits after high school, they got very concerned and supported the decision of me checking into treatment and getting help. My mom in particular was very worried. She's a divorced mom and I'm an only child. So it's been me and her just growing up my whole life. So plus she lost a child before me. So she was very scared seeing me weak, just frail, heart problems. It was terrifying for her.
And when you went in that time and they said to you, your heart has been weakened, had it gotten through to you at that point, Anais, that what you were doing was effectively killing yourself?
Yes, 100%. The first time I checked into the hospital, I wasn't as sick as I was the second time, and I had some slight heart issues. My heart rate was decreased below normal levels, and it didn't hit me at that point. However, the second time I was admitted and my heart rate was 29 beats per minute, it all dawned on me that it could have stopped at any moment.
The doctors, I understand, said to you, if you dance again, your heart will give in.
Yes, that was said to me the first time that I checked in to the hospital, and that I was lucky that I came in that time because my heart couldn't have taken another ballet class.
And did you dance again after that?
Yeah. After months of healing and recovery, I did go back. However, not at that immediate moment. I took the time I needed to heal my body and my mind before returning.
And what is it like? Because it's always interesting talking to people who have, from a very young age, had one very specific goal in mind about what they want to do when they grow up, effectively. And your goal was to be a professional dancer, and that's what you'd worked towards. And as you said, although the obsession might have actually been on something else, you know, you thought, I guess, that it was on being a dancer and dancing. So if somebody says to you, you can't do this anymore, what did that mean to you?
Oh, I was devastated. And I'm still working on that to this day, to be honest, because it was my one and only aspiration in life. And my mom had sacrificed so much money, so much time, sending me to New York, to Florida, to everywhere, DC. I was dancing all over the country, essentially, and training with the best of the best, and it was not cheap. And I sacrificed all the times that I could have been hanging out with friends, as I mentioned. So knowing that everything that we had sacrificed together as a family and that my heart was put on this one thing, and that I possibly can never do it again, it felt like I had lost a loved one. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in this phase of grieving dance. I miss it. However, I know that I need to be healthy in order to dance.
Mm. How healthy are you now?
I am the healthiest I have been in the past 4 years, I can say. I dance for the pure joy of it. I go into a studio by myself and I turn music on and I have fun. I performed recently again, and I'm doing it on my terms, and I'm doing it once a week. So it's not consuming my life. I'm maintaining a healthy weight, and I am now focusing on a different major. I'm pursuing health science, so my life is in a different direction. However, it's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And in many ways, I guess, you know, I often talk to dancers here who have moved into another type of dance away from ballet, and they will say part of the reason was the dieting and the weight and all of that was one of the reasons they just had to leave it behind. But they move into another form of dance that is more fulfilling for them eventually than what previously they experienced. So I guess it doesn't mean that dance is over for you in that sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're speaking out about it now. Why, Anais?
Well, after I realized that my life was so fragile and that it could have been taken from me any second, when my heart rate was so low, I want to speak out for other dancers because I was not the only ballerina in treatment. And I know in my graduating class, there were some other students that suffered from bulimia, anorexia, and other eating disorders of the type and at my high school, the dancers in particular. So I wanted to come out to beg and plead that other studios, other companies, other professors in the dance world can learn that they can kill their students if they say the wrong things. And that when somebody really loves something as much as I did, I was willing to sacrifice whatever it took. And I want other ballet students to know that they don't have to do that.
Have students reached out to you since you've gone public about this to say that they've had similar experiences or that they worry that they might go down the same road?
Oh, yes. My my email, my Instagram account, everything. I've been flushed with many messages for the past few years, actually, because I've been speaking about this for a while. And they've all kind of just told me that I've saved their life, or another student said that they went through the same thing, or that they're scared that they're going to relapse, or that they're going to go down this path for the first time. So many, many, many ballerinas and dancers, and even non-dancers have come to me about how inspiring and grateful they are for me sharing, and that, you know, they're fighting for their lives as well.
And I should say, because I was looking at your Instagram account earlier, and your partner, your boyfriend, is in it and looking very supportive, and the two of you are looking very romantic together. And for and for him, I don't know how long he has been around, but I guess he probably knows your story, does he?
Yes, we're actually engaged to get married on July 8th.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He has been the most incredible partner I in this world, in my opinion, honestly, because he's been there from the very first hospitalization to the second and to now when I'm healthy. And he's never left my side. He's drove into the hospital to visit me. He's come to every support group. He's been there by my side, holding my hand, hearing me when I cry. And he's been a blessing and a lifesaver in many ways.
And does he understand it, or did he understand it?
He did after the second hospitalization, when I really just expressed to him how grateful I was for him coming to every group. At first, he had no idea what eating disorders were, as most young men, I would say, do. He had no idea, and he didn't know how to handle it. And he's just been the most supportive and patient person. And I think that's what it really takes to deal with someone with an eating disorder is patience, because you can't tell them to eat or tell them to gain weight or force them to do something that their mind is screaming them at them not to do.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again, as I said, on your upcoming wedding and on the engagement. And Anais, it's been really lovely to talk to you, and the very best of luck with everything in the future. Goodness knows you're still very young. What your path might be, most of us at the age of 21 have no idea what we're going to do with our lives, so don't feel too threatened by all of that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anais, and thank you so much for joining us here on the show this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers. That's Anais Garcia joining us this evening from Baltimore in the US. You're tuned into the Green Room here on News Talk.
News Talk 106 to 108.